All right, CFL fans, welcome back.
It's week 16.
It is week 16. Can you believe it, Sandra?
I can't.
The season is flying by.
I know.
My name is Kent Goodwin III, back with you for another deep dive.
And I'm Sandra Wellborn.
Into the Continental Football League.
I am so excited for this week.
Me too. It was a wild one.
Absolutely.
So many things happening.
Unpredictable.
That's what I love about this league, though. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you got it figured out, and then week 16 comes along.
Throws you for a loop.
That's right. So let's just jump right into the scores.
Okay, let's do it.
8 games on the docket this week.
8 games.
And we had some surprises.
We did.
So starting off the Atlanta Firebirds, they fell to the Hartford Attack 20-12.
Hartford's defense is looking really good.
Yeah, they shut down that usually explosive Atlanta offense.
Yeah.
Down in Texas, the Dallas Vaqueros beat the Boston Blizzard 10-6.
Low scoring game.
Very low scoring. What do you think happened there?
You know, it sounds like both teams were really focused on stopping the run.
Interesting. Okay.
So that led to some pretty conservative play calling, I would say.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Heading out to the islands, the Shreveport Pride, they had a big win over the Honolulu Sharks, 34-10.
Junior Tripp.
Yes.
Had himself a day.
3 touchdowns.
3 touchdowns. That's putting yourself on the map.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Honolulu just could not find their bite this week.
No, they could not. Now, this next one was a close one. The Atlantic City Aces, they lost a close one to the Death Valley. Copperheads 14-24.
Yeah, the Copperheads defense really showed up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Forced some key turnovers and just shut down the Aces.
Kept them out of the end zone when it mattered most.
Absolutely.
Yeah, tough loss for the Aces. All right, this next game, I got to tell you, this one had me on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Philadelphia Generals just barely beat the Omaha Arrowheads 36-35.
Talk about a nail biter.
1-point game, Sandra. 1 point.
Oh, my goodness. I bet the fans were going crazy in that stadium.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right down south. The Durham Bulldogs, they lost to the Miami Talons 13-23.
Miami's looking really strong.
They're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And, you know, Durham's got their work cut out for them if they want to keep up.
Absolutely.
Another close one here. Sandra, the Boise City Stampede lost to the Iowa City Argonauts 23-24. Another 1-point game.
These close games are showing us just how competitive this league is.
Yeah, everybody's bringing their A game, it seems like.
Absolutely. And anyone can win on any given Sunday.
That's right, you said.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, up north, the Kansas City Storm, they were blown out by the Alaska Kodiaks, 15-30.
Alaska's on fire.
They are making a push for the playoffs.
Definitely a team to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. So there you have it, Sandra, all 8 games.
Wow, what a week.
What a week. So what really stood out to you? Anything that you saw as a trend or something that you're like, that's interesting?
You know, I think one thing that really stood out to me was the dominance of defense this week.
Okay.
We saw a lot of low-scoring games.
Yeah.
A ton of turnovers.
Uh-huh. Some really impressive defensive stands. It seems like teams are really buckling down.
Yeah.
Focusing on shutting down their opponents.
Uh-huh.
And preventing those big explosive plays.
Yeah. You know, and it makes sense as we get closer to the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
The intensity ramps up.
Absolutely.
Teams are trying to, you know, just really hunker down and make sure that they're playing their best football.
Yeah, they're not leaving anything to chance.
Exactly. So it's great for us as viewers.
Oh, yeah. Keeps us on the edge of our seats.
It does. I mean, some of these games were so close.
For sure.
So you're right. It just shows the level of competition in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's anyone's game.
Anyone's game.
Which is what makes it so exciting. All right. So speaking of close games, there's one in particular that I think we need to take a deeper look at.
Okay.
That Philadelphia Generals Omaha Arrowheads game.
Oh, my goodness.
1-point thriller decided in the final seconds.
I can't wait to talk about that one.
Oh, let's get into it. So that Philadelphia Omaha game, Sandra. Oh, my gosh.
What a game.
Yeah.
What stood out to you?
I think for me, the resilience of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They were down by 8 points going into the fourth.
Yeah, they were.
And they just did not give up.
No, they did not. They never quit.
They had fewer first downs than Omaha 23-28, but they were so efficient with their possessions.
Yeah, they weren't moving the chains consistently, but when they got in scoring position, they capitalized.
Absolutely.
And they did it against a really tough Omaha defense.
Yeah, Omaha's defense is not a joke.
No, it's not. They've been playing really well this season.
Mm-hmm.
So for Philadelphia to come back and win, like, that says a lot about their character, about their potential in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this game was a real test of their, you know, like their mettle.
It really was.
And they passed with flying colors.
I did. They sure did. All right, let's move on down south to Miami, where the Talons shut down the Durham Bulldogs 23-13.
This game was all about turnovers.
It was Durham threw 3 interceptions. Miami had 0.
Yeah, and Miami's defense, they didn't just create turnovers.
Right.
They capitalized on them.
Yeah.
You know, Julio Matthews had that pick 6.
Oh, yeah.
54 yards.
Yeah.
That really shifted the momentum.
Yeah, it did. It was a huge turning point in the game.
Absolutely.
And it just, you know, it speaks to having a defense that can not only get the ball back, but also score points.
Yeah, for sure. They were dominant.
Yeah, Miami's defense is looking really scary right now.
Oh, yeah.
And they shut down Durham's running game completely.
8 rushing yards?
The entire game.
The entire game. That is unbelievable.
It's wild.
Yeah.
All right, let's head up north where the Alaska Kodiaks just ran all over the Kansas City Storm 30-15.
Dylan Brock was unstoppable.
He was a one-man wrecking crew.
110 rushing yards on 22 carries, plus another 79 receiving yards.
He was doing it all.
Yeah. Kansas City just could not contain him.
No, they could not.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bart Marsh, their quarterback, he had a good game, too.
He did 224 yards, passing 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. He was spreading the ball around, keeping that Kansas City defense on their toes.
For sure. But let's not forget about Alaska's defense.
Oh, yeah.
3 interceptions.
Yeah. Huge.
Huge. You know, turnovers like that really make a difference.
Absolutely. They can swing the momentum in an instant.
Yeah. And Kansas City just couldn't overcome those mistakes.
No, they could not. All right, speaking of offensive firepower, let's talk about the Shreveport Pride's big win over the Honolulu Sharks, 34-10.
Junior Tripp was on fire.
He was 305 yards, passing 3 touchdowns.
He was in the zone.
It was.
Find him open receivers everywhere.
It seemed effortless.
Absolutely, and he connected with 7 different receivers.
Yeah, he was spreading the love.
He was showing that he can, you know, really keep the defense guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, and I want to give a shout-out to Shreveport's punter, Colton Kleshelski.
Oh, yeah.
He averaged 39.2 yards per punt.
Wow.
With 3 of those punts landing inside the 20-yard line.
Field position is so important.
It is. It's huge.
And he was a weapon for them.
Absolutely.
Consistently pinning Honolulu deep in their own territory.
Yeah, it's easy to overlook the special teams sometimes.
Yeah.
A great punter can be a game changer.
Absolutely.
All right, Sandra, we've talked about some of the big games of the week.
What a week.
Now it's time to talk about the players who really stood out. Who is your pick for overall player of the week?
That's a tough one.
I know there were so many great performances.
So many.
But you got to pick one.
All right. After careful consideration, I'm going to go with Kirk Friday, quarterback for the Miami Talons.
Kirk Friday, good choice. Why him?
Well, he completed 27 of his 41 pass attempts for 230 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he also added a rushing touchdown.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's not just about the stats.
Uh-huh.
You know, he showed incredible leadership poise decision-making throughout the entire game.
Yeah, he really orchestrated that offense beautifully.
He did.
Making smart reads, extending plays with his legs when he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, he didn't turn the ball over.
0 interceptions. In a game where turnovers were so crucial, that is impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Kirk Friday's a great choice for player of the week.
Absolutely.
I have a few other players I want to highlight.
Okay.
Starting with Jeffrey Gibson, cornerback, for the Boise City Stampede.
Oh, yeah.
That 80-yard interception return for a touchdown.
What a play.
That was amazing.
Incredible instincts, athleticism, awareness.
Yeah, he read the quarterback perfectly, jumped the route, and took it all the way.
Beautiful.
All right, and then there's Sean Meadows, wide receiver for the Shreveport Pride.
Oh, yeah. He was unstoppable.
4 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown.
He was too much for the Sharks to handle.
He was too big, too fast, too strong.
Yep.
And finally, I got to give a shout out to Bart Marsh, quarterback for the Alaska Kodiaks. Another solid performance for him.
He's so consistent.
He has 224 passing yards, 2 touchdowns in their win over Kansas City.
He's a game manager.
Yeah.
Makes smart decisions, protects the ball, gets it to his playmakers.
He's not flashy, but he gets the job done.
He does.
All right, Sandra, we've covered a lot of ground today, but
we have.
I want to leave our listeners with a question to ponder.
Okay.
With so many close games this week, do you think we're going to see teams becoming more conservative in their play calling as we head into the playoffs?
It's a good question. Are they going to play it safe or go all out?
Yeah, it's a tough decision for those coaches.
It really is because, you know, you don't want to take too many risks when every game is so important.
Right, you don't want to make a mistake that could cost you a playoff spot.
Exactly, but at the same time, you don't want to become predictable.
Yeah, you can't let the other team figure you out.
If they know what you're going to do every time, they can shut you down.
That's right. So it's a delicate balance, for sure.
It really is.
So what do you think, Sandra? Do you think we'll see more conservative play calling in the coming weeks?
I think it'll depend on the team.
Okay.
You know, some teams with really strong defenses, they might feel comfortable playing it safe.
Yeah, letting their defense win the game for them.
Exactly. But then you've got teams with these high-powered offenses,
right,
and they might feel like they need to keep scoring points to stay ahead.
Yeah, they might not want to take their foot off the gas.
So it'll be interesting to see how each team approaches it.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to watch how they adapt their strategies.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of adapting and adjusting, I think this week's games also highlighted the importance of special teams.
Absolutely.
You saw some big punts, some clutch field goals, and even some exciting returns.
Yeah, special teams can really make a difference.
They can, a blocked punt, a long return, even just consistently pinning the other team deep in their own territory can change the game.
And as we saw this week, having a good kicker who can make those pressure field goals can be the difference between winning and losing.
Absolutely. So I think the takeaway here, Sandra, is that if you want to win in this league, you got to be good in all three phases of the game.
Offense, defense, special teams.
That's right. You can't afford to have any weaknesses.
Especially this late in the season.
Especially now with the playoffs right around the corner.
Yeah, it's going to be an exciting finish, that's for sure.
It is. So there you have it, folks. Another week of CFL action in the books.
What a week.
What a week. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into Week 16.
Always a pleasure.
And be sure to tune in next week for more analysis and more insights. And, of course, our picks for the players who are making waves in the league.
See you then, CFL fans.
Until then, keep those helmets shiny and those spirits high.